Here it is, another Saturday in CC Oland at 7:45, time once again for Wine Chat with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Ted, good morning.
Good morning, Danny. How are you on this glorious day?
How could one not be anything but great? What a great day. It looks like, 65 and sunny. Perfect.
And again, it's about time. We suffered through a lot, but it's just so great to see it. The grass is turning green. You're seeing some of the leaves, you know, their buds are breaking and all that. Even a few tulips are popping up, and it's just, we're getting out of the doldrums, which is just fantastic.
Yeah, we've earned it, I guess. You're right. What's on tap for today to talk?
Well, the reason why we talk about today, honestly, is, you know, with this kind of warming weather that we're having, you know, we've talked about it in the past, where sort of you change your wine cellar the way you change your wardrobe, where, you know, now that it's warming up, what you want to do is maybe move away from those heavier wines, those bigger wines like Viogniers for your whites or Chardonnays, which are bigger, a little bit more robust, a tad bit heavier in your Cabernets and all that. Maybe when you're talking about white wines, you want to move into a Sauvignon Blanc. Sauvignon Blanc is a wonderful grape varietal. I think it's the third most abundantly planted white wine grape varietal in the entire world. It is a great expression. You know, it comes from an old French term. The Sauvignon is savage, which they found these clones out in the field. So it's savage white wine where they found these clones. They think it has started down in the Bordeaux region. Unfortunately for the Bordelais, though, the first known recording of Sauvignon Blanc was actually in the Loire Valley in about 1538, 1568, somewhere there, that this writer was writing about the wines of the Loire Valley, talking about the Sauvignon Blanc, but the Bordelais kind of lay claim to it. But there's, you know, talk about a good fight as far as which one is better. You just don't know which one, but great expressions. And then the first known planting of Sauvignon Blanc in the United States was in about 1880 in the Livermore Valley. Now, the Livermore Valley, very close to San Jose. You know, the thing about the Sauvignon Blanc grape varietal is it likes a maritime climate where they want some of that cool ocean airs, but it can withstand some heat. They like a long, drawn-out growing season, but then cool nights, because it isn't as thick as a Chardonnay grape where it can withstand some heat, but it just loves it. And the nice thing about it is that it retains a lot of nice acidity. It's real crisp. It's real clean. So, you know, it's a light, expressive wine. And the nice thing about it as well is that you can put a heavy chill on it. So when we do get into the warmer temperatures, but even today it's going to be at 60-some degrees, you can put that in the ice chest and really, you don't have to freeze it down, but you chill it down and just kind of open it up, express it, and relax and enjoy it. You know, in California, the Sauvignon Blanc sales were slowing down a little bit, and our old friend, he was a Minnesotan, Robert Mondavi, even developed a little term to kind of highlight it, and it was his own marketing term called Fumé Blanc. And maybe you remember a lot of people in the 80s decided they changed the name of their Sauvignon Blanc on their label to be Fumé Blanc, which Fumé means smoke. It means a little bit of fog as well, depending on your interpretation of it. It was a little bit of a marketing ploy by our old friend Robert Mondavi to get people interested in the Sauvignon Blanc grape varietal, and it is such a great one. But that's just a marketing term. So if you, I don't believe there's very many people who use the term Fumé Blanc anymore, but it's Sauvignon Blanc, and they are light, clean, crisp, refreshing wines, so enjoyable to sit out, as Californians call it, a porch pounder, where you're just sitting out on your deck, you chill one of these down and enjoy it. One of my favorites, Sauvignon Blancs, is again a white Bordeaux, and it's called Tour de Légon. Now, Légon actually is a derivation. There's a little town directly south of Bordeaux called Payac-Légon. Now, this has been a fantastic wine-growing region for years and years and years. In this area, Pope Clement has the Pape Clement, which is a great old Bordeaux down in this area. You also find other estates like La Mission Opryon and whatnot in this Payac-Légon region. The interesting thing about this particular region, it is so close to the town of Bordeaux that, yes, even the French are witnessing sprawl, where some of these vineyards are actually getting gobbled up because the winemaker realizes oh my goodness, I can make a little bit more money developing these this land for housing than I do making wine, so I'm selling it out. But there's still a lot of little great refuges in this area. So you will see vineyards cropped up with urban sprawl. It's quite an interesting little predicament that they're in. But this Tour de Légon, it's a second label of Chateau Carbonneau. Now, Carbonneau, has a rich history. It was part of that great 1854 registration with the World's Fair. It has a great reputation as being one of the best white wines from the Bordeaux. And this being a second label, which means it comes from the same vineyard as the Carbonneau wine does, but generally speaking, it's usually the younger vines. So those winemakers are kind of rotating their vines and rotating their crops as far as, you know, this group of vines are 60, 70 years old. They're too old, so they have to do some replanting. So this is wine made for the younger vines from about 7 to maybe 15 years. But it's a great expression of Sauvignon Blanc. The trick is that this one, they do blend in a little bit of Semillon. I believe it's 75% Sauvignon Blanc, and there's also about the rest of it is Semillon. Semillon gives it a little bit rounder flavor, but you can get that true expression of Sauvignon Blanc in that particular wine because it is that crisp green flavor. It's a great wine. It's so fun, but you know, you notice on the label that there is a little seashell, and that's the symbol of the Carbonneau family, the parent family, which has owned it now for about 250 years, is just a marquee wine. And on that one, if you sat down and had that with a little bit of a salad and shrimp, you know everything's just right on these warm days like this. But it's a truly fun wine. You know, it's for some the pricey side, it's about $25. But, you know, it's a great, great expression of Sauvignon Blanc with that unique blend of Semillon in there. But in this particular region, you do see a lot of interesting things. They're a little further south. There's an area called Graves. And that particular area gets its name where if you look at it, it looks like graves. But Graves literally translates as gravel. If you look at some of those vineyards, you would think you're on one of those Japanese gardens where it's all rocks and things like that. Really tough, tough climate to grow it. But that's what the Sauvignon Blanc grape varietal really likes. It really thrives on. So another grape or another wine to try is a little white Bordeaux called Chateau Lumelot. Lumelot, again, now this one is a little bit unique for that region because it's 100% Sauvignon Blanc. It's really approachable. It's really nice. And what you find on that one is a nice, crisp acidity on the finish. It is so delicious, so wonderful. Now, the one thing to do, you know, when you're learning about these types of wines and trying different wines, like we always say, always have an open mind and an open mouth. But the other hook is a very big, huge area that is growing Sauvignon Blanc now is down in New Zealand. New Zealand has in this particular area called Marlborough. Now, Marlborough is in the northern part of the southern island. Marlborough is one of the largest growing regions of all of New Zealand, and it's responsible for about 85% of the export wine that the Kiwis do. And it's a great way, a really interesting way, and they're even getting to the point of finding out the different parcels inside the Marlborough region, like the Wear River, whatnot, that are a little bit better. So they're getting a little bit more like the French and finding out which one is best. But this Marlborough region is terrific. And there's an odd statistic in New Zealand about how at any given point in New Zealand, you're less than 80 miles away from the ocean. So this is a maritime climate that really allows that Sauvignon Blanc to thrive, really allows the Sauvignon Blanc to do what it does. And these wines over the last few years have really taken over the market as far as people really enjoying a Sauvignon Blanc. The interesting thing about a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, there might be a little bit more citrus than some people are used to, maybe a little bit more grapefruit, a little bit fruit forward. So people, when they open up those bottles of New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, they put their nose in there, they take a little sniff, they smell that grapefruitiness, maybe even a slight tone of green pepper to it, but it's very light, it's very refreshing and very simple. One of my favorites to try is Silver Beach Sauvignon Blanc. This comes from the Marlborough region, and this is a particular wine that we've carried now for almost 20 years, and it's a great little expression of the New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. Now, you know, with that, there's some other famous ones like the Cloudy Bay and whatnot. But this is so approachable. It's in, you know, about $13-$14 a bottle. And it's so nice and very approachable. Now, one thing I would always recommend to the listeners is when you're trying these types of wines, you know, maybe pick up that bottle of Lumalot and also the bottle of Silver Beach and try them side by side. That is one of the best ways to learn about wine, is that comparison where you sit and you notice the different flavors, you notice the different nuances. And quite frankly, you always have to remember there's no right or wrong answer. It's what your palate is telling you, which one is which and which one do you like. And then also, if you have to, keep a little journal or a little mental note, or nowadays with your phone, take a snapshot, maybe write down a message of saying why you like that particular wine, because then that can send you in whatever direction that you'd want to go into in trying these Sauvignon Blancs. And it's, they're fun wines, you know, and at those price points, you know, they go so well, you can cook with them as well. There's an old adage, you know, when you're cooking with wine, make sure there's enough for the chef. So, you know, that Lumalot, later on today, we're going to do a classic French dish where you do the mussels in a little butter and garlic with wine sauce, where you have a little bit of that Lumalot, where you deglaze the pan when you put the mussels in there, and you sit there, well, more importantly, you have a glass while you're doing it. So it's a great wine for seafood, especially. Seafood just rings it. You know, outside of Bordeaux, there's an area called Arcachon, which is known for their oysters. And when they sit there and they crack open those fresh oysters, you have that wonderful Sauvignon Blanc from Bordeaux. It's so light, it's crisp, it's wonderful. You know everything's just right in God's green earth as far as just a great, enjoyable deal. And, you know, whether you like shrimp, whether you like even just the salads, one thing that's very, very simple to try with the Sauvignon Blanc, of all things, is Chèvre cheese. That is a goat cheese, but that Chèvre cheese has a little bit of that sharpness and the finish to it, which blends so well with the Sauvignon Blanc. So, you know, not to give our viewers a big homework assignment, but I would always say, Denny, you should go out, try these two bottles of wine, that Silver Beach, that Chateau Lumalot, side by side, and really see what the world has to offer in the Sauvignon Blanc expressions.
Oh, yes. And the listener even commented, you've already addressed it, why some of the Sauvignon Blancs, like from Marlborough, have that grapefruit taste to it. It's true.
It is true. And, well, you know, that all is then, it boils down to climate and location. Location, location, location. If you see where the Marlborough region is on that southern island, it's so close to the oceans, but it's also the soil down there. There's a lot of clay. There's also a lot of, in certain areas, a little bit more rocky slate. And that's actually similar to the Grav region, where you see the stones, you see that minerality that really comes out where the vines, you know, have to go deep, deep down into those rocks to find some nutrients, but it comes out in those wines. And especially with the New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs, that rounded grapefruit flavor to it is really what's driving their market. People really seem to like that. But I have, maybe I'm just too much of a classic. I like my little lighter, less, you know, I don't want that huge, big bouquet that some of those have. I like a little bit of it, but I would highly recommend doing a little bit of that Lumalot versus a Silver Beach just to have a great little lesson.
Excellent. I'm with you. All right. We have to run. We're out of time. Tell us quickly about Haskell's.
You are lucky. If you want to stop in and try some of those Sauvignon Blancs, come on into any of the Haskell's. We have 10 metro locations to take care of any of your needs at Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis. Free parking on the weekends. We have a Haskell's in Minnetonka, right by the Ridgedale Shopping Center. Haskell's in Highland Village. Haskell's down in Loman's Plaza in Bloomington. We also have a Haskell's right in downtown Excelsior if you want to go out and enjoy the lake today. There's also a Haskell's at White Bear Lake, Stillwater. There's a Haskell's down in Faribault right off of 35. There's a Haskell's in Plymouth. And always you can stop by our super cellar up in Maple Grove. And if you are too busy to do any of that, always stop by Haskell's.com 24/7, and we'll even deliver it to you, Denny.
Easy enough. Ted, thanks so much. Let's talk next week.
I look forward to that.
Ted Farrell from Haskell's.